very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. What an interesting 24 hours it's been, by the way. You should be well proud of your European MEPs because they, like the government, clearly aren't listening. MEPs Barry Andrews, Billy Kelleher, Deirdre Clune, Sean Kelly, Colm Markey, of course Maria Walsh and Francis Fitzgerald all voted in Europe in favour of the EU Migration Pact. Now remember, of course, we covered it on the show yesterday. And we asked our listeners, our WhatsAppers, our texters, did anybody actually agree with it? We could not find one solitary person who thought it was a good idea. Even those on the left, for different reasons, thought it was a bad idea. But yet, your European MEPs, the people you vote to represent you in Europe, all voted for it, with the exception of Sinn Féin, Mick Wallace and Claire Daly. But they didn't vote for it for different reasons as well, to be honest with you. Anyway, the point is, they're not listening to you. What are you going to do when it comes to June? Are you going to vote for them again? Most likely you will. And, you know, that's why there's kind of like this national amnesia. Let's be clear about it. We have European MEPs who are paid quite well for the job they do. A lot of them don't even turn up for debates. I mean, look at Colm Markey, for example. He rarely turns up for a debate. I think he's only done one or two debates in the whole term of that he's been there. I mean, it's absolutely disgraceful. They get paid good money. And don't get me wrong, if they do a good job, it's well worth it. Because remember, most of our directives and laws come from the European Union and from the EU. So it's up to them to be our supervisors while we're here and they're there. But they're not doing the job. They're not representing you, the people of Ireland. And that's what they should be doing. If they were, they would have all voted against it yesterday. It wasn't a landslide victory, by the way. And I can see a huge turnaround in the European Union and the European Commission in the next 5 or 6 years. As this year, you can imagine that a lot of people who will be centrist or to the right will be voted into the European Union. This time next year, that particular EU migration pact would not have been voted for. That's why they wanted to get it over the line before the EU elections, because they knew that currently at the moment, the EU MEPs that are over in Europe for most countries are a bunch of lefties. A bunch of lefties that will raise their hand for anything. Speaking of lefties, by the way, now look, we're all in favour of helping people as much as we possibly can, particularly if they're coming from war. And I agree with that, and we all should agree with that. But an article in the paper today, I'm looking, the government spent 1 million a month last year on accommodation and veterinary bills for dogs and cats and other pets for Ukrainian people in Ireland. 1 million a month. Now, I know we all love our dogs, etc., etc., but 1 million a month. That's not including the cost of bringing them here, by the way. That's just keeping them. Private companies making a fortune. Immigration is worth money for private companies. We know that at this stage. We've seen the hotels making millions. Now these boarding kennels and vets are making a fortune out of Ukrainian pets. Now, let's be clear about it. We love our dogs. We love our cats. And yes, I feel sorry for somebody who had to leave the Ukraine in a hurry and they wanted to see their dog again. But they didn't leave their dogs out on the streets. They obviously left them with somebody. I mean, and they're not going to get to see them if they're over here. If they're in a kennel, they have to go and see them or visit them. I mean, it's ridiculous that we would even think about spending that kind of money. Taxpayers' money. It's a reckless spend of taxpayers' money. Actually, they're just taking the piss at this stage. We have a government not listening to us. We have European MEPs not listening to us. And they're spending your money like it's going out of fashion. And we're not getting anything for it. So it is time for change. Change is on the way. You can be absolutely sure of that. Now, today, by the way, I want to talk about smoking. And almost 11 billion per year could be freed up, according to the United Kingdom, if English people stopped smoking. A study from experts at the University of Sheffield found poorer regions of the country could get the most benefit from saved on tobacco because they find that working class people smoke more. Now, we don't know the reason for that. Maybe it's to do with stress or anxiety or whatever it is. There's no particular reason. But a team from the University Addictions Research Group looked at how much money people spend on cigarettes and tobacco each year and how much money could be spent instead in towns and cities and villages and communities. They found that 10.9 billion made up of spending on tobacco minus the amount kept by local retailers, which is a profit of 7%. Because remember, the retailers don't make much money on cigarettes. Most of the money is actually going to the government. So should we ban smoking in Ireland? Now, let me put a caveat on that. New Zealand, only a couple of weeks ago, repealed the world's first ban on young people ever being able to buy cigarettes. They had this plan, which I thought was actually quite a good idea, that anybody born after the 1st of January 2009, that means they would be 16 years of age, would not be able to buy cigarettes. That means that next year, anybody born from 2009 would not be able to buy cigarettes. So it would go up a year, essentially, every year. So eventually, in, say, 50 or 60 years' time, nobody would be allowed to buy cigarettes. So that wouldn't basically ban anybody who's currently smoking over the age of 18 from buying cigarettes. You could still buy them and you can still smoke. But it meant that young people wouldn't start or couldn't start smoking. But sadly, they've repealed it. It would have also cut out nicotine content in tobacco products and reduced the number of retailers by more than 90%. But New Zealand's new coalition government has now confirmed the toughest anti-tobacco measures in the world have been revoked. But Prime Minister Rishi Sunak in the UK has said he has similar plans to that of the of New Zealand, and he won't be doing a U-turn. The UK government has not confirmed when the vote on this youth bans or smoking ban will take place, but they said it will. And a question on smoking tobacco products was included in the first time in the Irish census in 2022. Less than 1 in 10 people smoke in this country, and 4% of the population smoked occasionally in 2022. Among people aged 15 years and over, 16% reported they smoked daily or occasionally. Now, that 16% is not bad. We used to have 90% of the population smoking at one stage. The total revenue of the six largest tobacco companies in the world is 336 billion euro to kill us. And that's essentially what it's doing. The economic cost of Ireland and smokers is 5 billion, just over 5 billion. That's the economic cost of smoking in Ireland. When you take into consideration healthcare, etc., etc., it includes direct costs related to healthcare expenditures, indirect costs related to loss of productivity caused by illness and premature death. So here's the question. Should we ban smoking in Ireland for those, say, born after 2006? Or should we just ban it altogether? How would you feel about that? Let me know what you think. The number, as usual, is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Should we just ban smoking completely? Or should we do what they were thinking of doing in New Zealand and ban it for a certain cohort of people who are born after a certain time or a certain date? Now, let me go to, I think it's James. James, hi, how are you?
Afternoon to Niall.
Afternoon, James. James, should we ban it completely?
No, I don't think we should ban it completely, Niall. I think the idea of the New Zealand model was a great idea. I think that we should...
Sadly, that's been repealed, by the way. They're not going to bring... It was meant to come in July, but it didn't happen.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Big Tobacco got their thing in the door and kind of, you know, because you know in politics, money talks. I think the idea of saying to people right under the age of 16, right, you can't buy them now, and the next year 17, and then 18, 19, 20. Like, it is a long-term thing. And also then what they should be doing on the flip side to that is every year raising the price of cigarettes by 2 to 3 euro a pack.
Well, they're doing they're doing that anyway. So much they're 16.
Yeah, make them so expensive that it would just force people off.
I'm not too sure about that because unfortunately that affects the most vulnerable in society. Because if you look at the stats and the classes of people that smoke, it tends to be working class people with less money. So if you're going to increase the price, all you're doing is they're still going to smoke. They're still going to buy the cigarettes. They just spend less money on food.
Well, nobody won't, Niall.
I don't know.
No, that's a myth. No. Look, the simple fact is this. If you make it so expensive, and I suppose if you want to say so uncomfortable for people to do it, what they should also do as well is remove duty-free cigarettes from the airport. Now, I know I'm probably sound like a bit of a zealot here, but maybe remove them from the airport. Take it away totally and just then do that with people. You can walk into your shop. It's going to cost you 25 euro this year. Next year, it'll cost you 28. The following year, it'll cost you 31. Eventually, people will get the message. And also, Niall, think of the money you'll also save in the health system. I think we spend over $1.5 billion a year on smoking-related illnesses.
According to, I'm looking at a website here, it's 5.6 billion per year, which includes direct costs related to health care expenditure and also indirect costs of loss of productivity, illness and premature death.
Well, there you go. So think of, and look, it's a long-term thing. Like, you know, if you just cut everybody off to money, you can't do that because nicotine is a serious addiction. People say it's as bad as heroin. No, I've never smoked, Niall, so maybe I can, you know.
I don't think it's as bad as heroin, obviously, but yeah.
you know, I had parents who smoked. I had an older brother who smoked. So I had people around me who smoked all the time. To me, I find the habit disgusting, to be honest with you. Mm. I find the smell of it. It gives me headaches. I can't look at, like, cigarette butts. It makes me ill just looking at them. That's just me. But I just think for health-wise, as a father of three teenagers who, thankfully, none of them smoke, as far as I know, I think that, well, they're all into their looks and their appearance. So kids today, I don't think are as much. Vape seems to be the big thing for now. But I think going forward, I think it's a great idea. I think, you know, they should announce it from January 2026, nice 2-year lead-in, and set a year for thing from people of the age of 16, you can't buy. And then 2027, people for 17, 2028, so on, so forth. So it's a long-term thing. You wouldn't then see the massive shock to people because they can still buy them. But again, on the flip side, as I said, put them in the position where they're raising the cigarettes. Instead of doing it by 50 cents, raise it by €2 and then €2 and €2 and €3 to make it to the price where people are saying, you know what? It cost me 40 quid for 20 cigarettes.
Yeah, but what about some poor pensioner, you know, who doesn't have very much money and they can just about afford, you know, a packet of cigarettes every couple of days and you're going to pop the price up by, you know, 20% a year, like, or whatever it is you want to put it up by. I think that's a bit unfair on them. As you rightly said, it's not easy. It's not easy for them to give it up.
Of course not. And I'm going to cut across you there. And this is myth, right? And people are probably going to be raging when you hear me say this. Most pensioners have probably more disposable income than people who are working. Mm. They have no mortgage. They've got, the non-contributing
I don't believe so. Most pensioners are on a non-contributing pension, which is what, 236 quid or something like that. Whatever.
No, it's not, Niall. It's nearly 350 a week.
The non-contributing?
The non-contributing pension is nearly, it's €336 a week. And then they also get the other little things. They have the free travel and stuff. And rightly so, they deserve, if I had the choice, they should be getting 500 quid a week, right? But you have to remember, Niall.
Yeah,
it is. But so if you, let's very quick maths. You take an average, if you have a pensioner couple who are retired, right? So they're getting the bulk of €700 a week. And if you have a private pension, even better. They're getting €700 a week, right? They'll have no mortgage because their house is paid off. More than likely, 99.9% of pensioners wouldn't have a mortgage. So they don't have the bulk of between $1,000 and $1,500 in that expense going out. A lot of them have health insurance. The ones that don't have health insurance will have, they don't have to pay for doctor's fees, stuff like that.
They get a fuel allowance.
And right, again, if we can afford it, I think it should be doubled for pensioners. So I'm not coming across like us saying, oh, pensioners are wealthy. You know what I mean? But there's this myth that pensioners are going around in sandals and no socks and clothes that are 6 months old. It's not like that at all, lad, because my mother's a pensioner. And my mother is doing all right. She has a pension. You know what I mean? She has no mortgage. She does okay. Now, unfortunately, my father's not with us anymore, but she does okay. She's not living on the breadline. She's a smoker. She can afford cigarettes, no problem. And she's a smoker.
Okay, well hang on. Let me just go to Angela. Angela, hi, how are you?
I'm taking a breath.
Are you puffing away there, are you?
I'm actually having a cigarette while I'm on the phone.
Right, okay.
So firstly, can I just say non-contributory pension is €254 a week.
Yeah, sorry, James. I knew you were wrong.
Well, yeah, my mother has a non-contributory pension, so I don't know. That's what I saw on the other day. So I'd look... I'm just telling you,
it's 254. Yeah. I just looked it up.
Yeah, right? Unfortunately, I can't look it up here, but I actually thought it was 236. It must have gone up a little bit in the last couple of years.
Well, it's still
a thousand
a month.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So you are saying that to stop people now smoking, you should penalise them. You know, that you should. And who's going to get all that money? The government. Do you know what I mean? It's like, no, that's not fair. Sure, I mean, drinking can be just as bad. Do you drink, James?
I have the odd drink, yeah.
Yeah. Do you drink?
He does, yeah.
Yes, the odd drink, yeah.
So are you, yeah, but the odd drink, it doesn't matter. You drink or you don't drink, right? I have the odd drink, but I'm a drinker.
Say I do.
But what I'm saying is, so you think that by doing that, why don't they then double the amount of money for alcohol? Because alcohol
not?
Can kill just as many people.
It kills more people.
It kills more. Alcohol directly and indirectly
why
kills
not?
More people every year. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but why?
Well,
why,
sorry, Angela, can I cut across it just very quickly? And I'll just turn this question back on you, if you don't mind me asking. Why do Irish people not go into Temple Bar? Why do Irish people not socialise in Temple Bar?
Because it's full of tourists and it's too expensive.
There you go. It's too expensive. So they're drinking less.
So they go to another bar.
Yeah,
that's
but the price of alcohol has gone through the roof. I don't go to the pubs that much.
The price of cigarettes has gone through the roof too, James, by the way. Can I just point out?
Absolutely. I know it was. It's 15, 16.
No, it's 16 or 17 now, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said. 16 quid. No, look, this
And then you're saying to take away the duty free. Like, I mean, Jesus, James. Like, if you hate smoking that much, that's fine. That's your problem. But, like, my mum's a smoker. She's 77. Okay? And you're saying that at the age of 77, after rearing kids, after, you know, still being in a fabulous marriage, going through all of that, oh, she can't have the one thing that she loves the most? You want to want to penalise her?
I'm not saying that, but unfortunately she has
you
to pay
are.
For
you
it.
You just said,
just...
you just, no, you are. You are saying that by, you know, if you keep putting it up, that in like 10 years, let's say I'm 50 this year, that in 10 years, I should have to fork out 50 quid for a packet of cigarettes. Why are you penalising me?
Yeah.
Why penalise me?
Why, as we said, you know, we spend, what, as Niall corrected me on the figure, nearly
five billion a year. Yeah, 5 billion.
On health-related issues with reference to smokers.
Yeah.
Now, are you telling me that the tax you pay and that all the smokers pay?
Yeah, probably.
Like, what did the government take on? What did the government?
Yeah, but James, I worked it out at one stage. Well, no, I worked it out on the air on the radio one night, and I've been smoking since I was 16, right? And I worked out, you know, working it out at the price of cigarettes per packet, right, over all those years. I've probably paid about 120,000 in tax on those cigarettes because most of it's tax. So if anything happens to me, and touch wood it doesn't, I think I've paid for myself in hospital.
And that's the other thing is, James, the other thing is, you put that money up, that's going into the government. They're the ones who take the most money. That's the reason.
Okay, but Angela, let's be real about it. I might not agree with everything James says, but the message is there. The message is we need to stop smoking, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
no,
so why not do what they were planning to do in New Zealand, which was not an outright ban, which means no one's ever going to tell you to stop smoking, because I don't agree with bans as such. I don't agree with prohibition. I don't believe it ever really works too well to some degree.
No.
But anyway... But at least saying, let's not have new people smoking. Let's not encourage
young. Absolutely.
As James said, in 2 years' time, we turn around and say, anybody born after 2008, you're not allowed to buy a cigarette.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, right? I totally agree with that.
So it goes up a year every year. Do you know what I mean?
So it goes up a year every year, and you're not penalising
existing
because
smokers.
That's what it is. Yeah, you're not punishing the smokers who are smokers now, which isn't fair. You know, you can't do that. You can't penalise someone that's been doing something for so long and just turn around and go, it's banned. Because we can remember the shock to the system when they banned smoking in nightclubs. Smoking inside basically everywhere.
I see. Like, I was one of those people who gave out about that at the time because I worked in the nightclub industry. But the sky didn't fall in. And I remember thinking to myself at the time, oh, no one's going to listen to this. They're going to be arresting people left, right and centre. But to be honest with you, from the first day the ban came in, apart from the odd person who lit one up by accident, we never had to throw anybody out of the nightclub for smoking.
No.
And nobody ever did. People just adapted it and it was fine.
When that came in, right, I'll never forget it. When that came in, a couple of months later, I was in Spain and I was inside the pub and I was smoking a cigarette and I felt like a bowel child because... It wasn't in over there. So you could smoke in the restaurant.
Yeah, I remember that.
Cigarette kind of hovering.
Yeah, you felt like a rebel. You felt like a rebel.
It was like, oh my God, this is so cool. And then the other thing is what it did was, by God, did you get the real smells inside nightclubs of gone off.
Of farts.
Of gone off. Farts. Of Guinness farts. Of, you know, like.
Yeah, horrible carpets. Smelly carpets. Yeah.
It was just rotten.
It was. Actually, that was one thing that I noticed. Okay, but getting back. Okay, so you don't agree with a complete ban, but you do agree with the kind of New Zealand idea.
Yeah, I do, because, I would look at people like my mum and, of course, myself, because I would probably just be like, oh, my God, if I had to give them up. Because I like my cigarette. I do.
If cigarettes were developed or invented or whatever you want to say, if they, tomorrow, we would never legalize them. We would never allow them.
No, and that's the other thing that I don't think James is thinking about. By God, that black market is going to go huge.
That's another point, James. Yeah, the black. If you start increasing the price rapidly, James, as you're suggesting, you know, Henry Street and Moore Street will be awash with people selling dodgy cigarettes.
Oh, absolutely! Like not in Egypt, like absolutely. Like you make something. You know, it becomes more attractive when it becomes illegal. You know what I mean? That's basically what it is. Like you know what I mean? So
it also becomes more attractive when you can get it cheaper off some dodgy bloke down Henry Street.
I'm probably looking at it this way, Niall. I'm looking at it from a couple of things. I've never smoked in my life, right? I'm quite a healthy person. I exercise. I don't drink that much. I look after myself, right?
Yeah.
My father also as well. Maybe I'm a little bit biased because my father died of lung cancer, right?
Yeah, my mother died of emphysema, yeah, from smoking.
And my father-in-law, you know, as well, he died from emphysema at the lungs due to smoking. And I remember seeing that poor man. Like, my father went very, very quickly. But I remember seeing my father-in-law, you know, getting so bad over time with his breathing and stuff, and it's very, very hard to see.
I know.
So
I watched it.
I'm sorry to hear that.
That would be a big thing. Oh, no, thanks very much. No, I said, like, it was a few years ago.
I can still remember the day before my mother died in Tala Hospital, she got me to wheel her down outside. She had a mask on her face, and she got me to lift the mask on and off her while she was taking pulls of her jumper.
It's mad and bizarre when you see that.
I did the same. I remember when I had cancer, right? I had the operation on the Monday, kind of came around on Tuesday. Wednesday morning, my mum and dad came in to me. I asked mum to come back in that afternoon. Mum came back in. She was like, what's wrong? I said, get me out of here. I need to talk. And I was wheeled down with me oxygen.
I know. I mean, what are we like? You think we're stupid or something? Well, hang on. Let me just go to Joe as well. Joe, hi. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm not too bad, Niall. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon to you, Joe. I mean, you've heard Angela. She doesn't agree with a ban. She doesn't agree with a price increase. But she does agree that maybe, you know, the kind of New Zealand idea might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, well, I think Angela does have good points. It's obvious we're never going to ban cigarettes. Like, you know, it's like drinks. They're never going to ban it either. But I think they do need to, I think that 18 should be the age really for, or even 18 or 19 should be the age for people to start smoking. Because there is a lot of underage smoking going on now, and it's not just that, it's the vapes as well, like, and that's a major problem. Because you see it there with a lot of young people now. Young people are, they're having problems with their breathing, they're having asthmatic problems, and they seem to be, a lot of young people seem to be suffering with that now over the last couple of years, and I think we all know what the problem is.
Yeah.
But it's the parents who are responsible for this as well, Niall, because... we could blame the manufacturers all you like, but the manufacturers are only just there to do their job. But, like, there should be regulations for young people under 18 that you can't be buying cigarettes or vapes. Now, that might help, but it's a very sticky tape situation. And I don't think it's going to be solved overnight. Like,
no, I think we should just bring in a ban for women who live in County Clare. That would be a good...
I don't think banning Angela now would be a good idea.
I mean from smoking. I don't mean banning Angela altogether.
I'm only joking.
Although there's a part of me now thinking that maybe that's a good idea too. No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't banned me already anyway.
But, Joe, I mean, it's bizarre that we allow it. When you think about how bad smoking is for us, it's bizarre that it's still legal, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the reason we're letting it legal is because we have a good-for-nothing government that are there at the moment. And it's not just them, it's the whole tobacco industry in general. And I think there's a lot of criminal activity as well involved in this, Niall, because... You see there now, there's criminals operating this system, like underground kind of situation, like, you know, they're doing it in the underworld.
Of course, so, well, it's very lucrative. You know, I'm sure it's as lucrative as drugs, actually, if you bring in a truckload of illegal cigarettes.
Yeah.
There's a massive amount of profit.
There's smuggling going on. There's smuggling going on day in, day out, and I say we don't even know what half the story is. And
but there is a huge danger in buying those dodgy cigarettes, you know, that the stuff that's in them, you don't even know what's in them.
I laughed when I heard our favourite Martian there a couple of months ago, Donnelly, talking that he's going to have it sorted out by the end of the year. With respect, they might need me in government by the end of the year. So, like,
I wouldn't trust Donnelly to walk me dog, to be honest with you now, in fairness. By the way, he's gone very quiet lately, hasn't he? There hasn't been a squeak out of him.
Yeah, maybe that COVID inquiry is coming up now, isn't it? Or whatever they're talking about.
Yeah, maybe he's shitting himself or something. I don't know. Yeah, there hasn't been a squeak at him. Okay, well, hang on, Joe. Let me just go to Joseph as well. He's waiting ages. I do apologise, Joseph. Joseph, there you go. You're listening to Angela. Don't put the price up, but maybe do the New Zealand model.
Well, no, I disagree with the whole idea. I want to preface this by saying I'm a non-smoker. I think I've had all of 2 cigarettes in my life when I was a teenager. They were horrible. But what they're trying to do comes from the idea that government are our parents and they have to, you know, tell us not to do bold things and they have to manage us, the people. That's the wrong way of thinking of government. We, the people, should be allowed to do as much as they possibly can, you know, within reason. You're not, you know, violent to others and so on. But if you want to smoke, you smoke. Now, the government can put out information to say, look, this is the statistics of if you smoke, the chance of cancer goes up. You make the decision on that. It is not the government's place to say, oh, you're a very bold boy. You can't be doing that. I'm going to stop you. That's not what government is or should be. And that's very dangerous.
Well, no. No, you're wrong. Yeah. No, because the government do bring in laws that say you're a very bold boy. You're not allowed to do that. Like, there is prohibition. When, you know, I mentioned earlier on that a lot of people say, when we talk about drugs and stuff, oh, prohibition doesn't work, right? It's a bit of a cliche line. Prohibition does actually work. But depending on what we're talking about, like, you're prohibited from breaking the speed limit for good reason.
Yes. And, because you're putting an undue danger onto others.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, but you could argue the same about smoking and drinking, by the way, because it does put undue danger, allegedly, onto other people, and particularly with drinking, where you have domestic violence and all sorts of things, and drink driving and everything else. So when you say prohibition doesn't work, we prohibit people from doing things legally all the time.
Yeah, no, there are some things that should be illegal, of course. I'm not saying everything should be legal, but I'm saying there are certain things, like the reasoning for those things being illegal. Stealing is illegal because it's a danger to everyone around you. They could say smoking ban inside, you know, restaurants. Okay, fine. You're a danger to those around you. That's okay. But when they're saying, let's stop you smoking at all, let's stop you engaging in any behavior, that's where they're going over the line.
And well, no. I'll give you an example. They prohibit people from driving in a car with no seatbelt.
Again, they're a danger to themselves and to those around them.
Well, no, they're only a danger to themselves. If you've no seatbelt in the car and there's nobody else in the car with you, you're a danger to yourself.
No, if you hit an object, you were ejected from that car with the force of your body at 70 miles an hour. Jesus. You're a flying human missile. No. I mean, a car crash is bad enough, but other people's pedestrians are hit. No, I'm not exaggerating.
He's not exaggerating about you being chucked out of the car. You will be chucked out of the car, but the likelihood of you flying out of the car and hitting somebody else is unlikely.
Yeah. When has that ever happened?
Before seatbelts. Seatbelts stop that, but every time there's a head-on collision, without seatbelts, someone's ejected.
No, they do get ejected, but she's asking, when was the last time somebody was ejected to a windscreen and then just happened to hit a passerby?
I don't know about that. No, I'll tell you this. If the passenger in the back seat does not have a seatbelt, you will hit the seat in front of you, the driver or the front side passenger, with enough note. And that does, that was the factor of a lot of people dying there as well.
See those, James, you see those draws on the table? You're clutching at them now. You're really clutching at them.
No. You know, look, we're getting into that's a ridiculous analysis.
The thing is, they brought the seatbelt in to protect you, not everybody else, to protect yourself. Okay? That's what they're doing with smoking. And as I said, I am a smoker. And what they're doing is they want to try and bring this in to protect all the younger people and stop them smoking up to their lives. That's protecting them. That's not protecting anyone else. So, you're
that's part of the reasoning, but it shouldn't be. Like, you should have. Okay, do you know how many people go into A&E after falling from a trampoline? Should we ban trampolines? I mean, how many people?
They put nets up around them now. That's why.
Huh? But they don't have to. That's not a legal requirement. Yeah, they come with them. No, but what I'm saying is the government shouldn't make laws to do this. They should say, guys, you're strongly encouraged to have a law. A trampoline without a law, without a fence, is more expensive. You know, that sort of thing. What I'm saying is the principle of they're telling the people, you are not allowed to do this thing. You're being naughty. Enforcing a law against
you. Okay, Joseph, you know me. I'm completely against censorship of any type, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not but here's the thing. I am logical as well. And as much as I don't want to ban Angela from smoking because she's over 18 years of age, she can do what she wants with her life, child protection is paramount, absolutely paramount. And if we can go forward in time and stop children from taking up smoking, surely that's a good thing by saying we bring in a ban, say, starting in 2026 in January, that anybody born after 2008 cannot smoke.
Okay, why don't they do the same for everything else that could potentially be harmful to you in the long run? What if they say eating meat increases cancer? Then it does. Eating meat does increase your chance of cancer, so everyone has to be vegetarian. Is that a law?
But we're well aware. And by the way, you know, eating meat, and that particular article or that research was brought out by a vegan who worked in the WHO.
Yes.
Now, there is no suggestion, by the way, that overindulging in red meat is probably not good for you.
No.
Right?
Look, I'm not getting into the specifics.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, I understand that, but we clearly know that smoking is one of the big, big problems in society when it comes to health.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah, eating meat isn't, right? Unless you're overindulging and you become obese and have heart failures and all sorts of things, right?
But Joseph, the other thing is, right, they tell us not to do certain drugs because it's detrimental to your health. Now, it's not detrimental to every person out there because there are people who smoke weed, there are people who are on cocaine and haven't died from it yet, but they still ban it.
Yes, so, it has many serious negative
but
effects.
But if what you're saying, if you're saying is logic, then they shouldn't ban anything and just sit there and go, you shouldn't do it because it's not good for you.
And you're saying that, you know, drugs have detrimental effects on people. I'm probably sure, I don't know the actual stats and somebody might correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure more people die from smoking than heroin addiction.
So they die of it. You know, heroin, even pure heroin, it is actually relatively safe, I understand.
Yeah, you're not stuff they're mixing with it. Yeah.
Yeah, but the problem of heroin is the effect it has on you and your behavior. You will instantly start going to, you know, extreme measures to get your heroin. And, you know, at the start, heroin was legal, you know, back in the ye olde day, you could get this stuff and they knew what it did. And when they started figuring out, look, people who take it start acting really erratic and not themselves. That's the danger to society, and we have to protect society from that.
Well, do me a favor, both of you stay there. Joseph, take that cover off your phone, Joseph, if you can.
It is off.
Oh, is it? I don't know what it is about your phone, Joseph. It's not as bad as it used to be, but it's like there's echo on it all the time. It must be the model of the phone or something. I don't know. John, hi, how are you?
Wait a minute. You said there earlier, you were a free speech guy. You support free speech, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the same when they're trying to bring in a hate speech law. They're saying, you're saying naughty things and it's hurting people's feelings. So we're going to make it illegal.
Yeah, but it's not bad. Yeah, but if I say hurty words to people, it's not bad for their health.
Yeah, I know. But smoking, like, while it is bad for your health, and they can say, look, we don't like you doing this. Here's the information that it's bad for your health. You know, we're actively, we are not your parent. We are not your authority. We are your servants, basically. They should be the servants of the people who, you know, they supply the roads, they fix the electricity grid. That's the things government should do.
But wouldn't it be a good thing, Joseph? Joseph, before I go to John. Wouldn't it be a good thing if everybody didn't smoke? Wouldn't that be a good thing?
It would be, but we don't have the right to say that.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me just go to John as well. John, hi. How are you doing, John?
Good afternoon, and how are you? Now, first of all, shall I start with your good self and to make an inquiry? Are you still smoking?
Don't ask, John. Don't ask, because then I have to make an admission. Because I can't lie.
Well, I'm asking you straight out.
John,
now you're back on it. You're back on the cigarette now, you're not.
Yep.
And you wish. Jesus. Right. Let's deal with your good self, sir, and the comment you just made there a few minutes back about that you have paid so much tax on the cigarettes that you have purchased over the years that you believe that you have invested in your healthcare going forward. Am I right?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, if you're talking about it, that you end up inside the hospital with smoke-related illness, right?
Yeah.
Which can be myriad of hardening the arteries, lungs, whatever, heart problems,
yep.
circulation problems.
Yeah.
The fact that you believe that you have invested that money going forward and then you're getting the benefits of it.
I don't want the benefits of it, to be honest with you,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, but no, the point I'm making is that the very thing you said that you paid forward, right? I mean, you wouldn't need that in the first place, that healthcare, if you didn't smoke in the first place.
I know.
And when you're in hospital, then you are taking up a bed that could be used by somebody, many people that are suffering from organic illness that they didn't go out looking for and deliberately pay good money to put something into their mouth that damaged them in the first place and they ended up in hospital. No, they got cancer, they got other diseases, whatever, that they never went looking for. Unlike the smoker, Mr. Smoker, went out, paid good money, put this rag of a weed into their mouth and inhaled it down into their lungs. No, as regards the government, look, for the only good thing we had, Martin, if it didn't worry about, was the smoking ban. I would say we set 5 years' time that cigarettes are gone, they're banned completely, and that's the end of it. And it'll also protect, you're protecting people's health, and you're also saving money. What is wrong with that? When I see a person in front of me, and some people know I can't afford it, like, and they're paying 15 or 16 euros for cigarettes, and on that packet says that it will give you cancer or that you will die younger, they should get their brain examined.
Mm.
Angela,
he wants to ban them all together. 5 years' time.
Not a hope in hell. And can I...
he'd be doing you a favour. Angela, he'd be doing you a favour.
I'd be saving your life, Angela.
He'd be saving your life.
One thing I'll tell you, John, is I have my own private health insurance that I've paid into. So it's not the cigarettes are going to cover. It's my health insurance will cover if I ever have to go in due to smoking.
Yeah, but the fact is, you wouldn't need that health insurance unless something organic happened. If you weren't smoking, you wouldn't end up with smoking-related illness.
John, I don't just have my health insurance because I smoke. And thank God I had it. Because when
the point I'm making is you wouldn't need to avail of that health insurance for smoking-related illness if you didn't smoke in the first place.
But, John, what about the drug addicts out there? What about the alcoholics out there? What about, let's say, what about adventurous people who, you know, go off and do stupid things and jump out of planes and do all of this? Like,
yeah, but they're all one-offs.
No, John, are they putting their health at risk and aren't they taking up a bed if something happens then?
Yeah, but we're talking about all of the smokers out there and the amount of beds they take up on a daily basis. What about the amount of people that are...
What about
the amount of people today, you know, as we're having this conversation? They're following the hearse into many churchyards and funeral homes around this country, and the people inside in their coffin died because of smoke.
But, John, what about the drinkers out there?
Yeah, what about
drinking
them?
Drinking kills more. Drinking kills more than smokers in this country.
Well, we're talking about cigarettes. Let's deal with one substance.
Okay, well then, John, let's deal with one substance at a time. That's fine. You've said 5 years' time. So when do you plan to bring in the alcohol ban?
We're not talking about alcohol today.
I didn't ask you that. I'm just saying, John. Do you enjoy a pint of beer, yeah?
Well, I mean, I do. I enjoy Jameson and
whiskey,
and ginger ale.
Oh, lovely! Yeah, lovely. So when are we bringing in the alcohol ban? Because as I said earlier on, alcohol directly and indirectly kills more people every year. So when are we bringing that one in? 5 years, 6 years?
Well, if I had my way, I would have never before. The only off license you could get in the '70s was you had to take it away from the pub, and I think the plethora of mushrooms.
You're avoiding the question, John.
Of course,
I'm not avoiding it.
Would you agree with a ban on alcohol? Would you agree with it?
If the worldwide, it would be no problem to me in the morning.
John, you see, you're avoiding the question. You're avoiding it. In this
would
country,
you say we're talking about cigarettes?
Would you agree?
You should be dealing with this one substance at a time.
How many people end up in hospital every year with liver disease, alcohol-related illnesses, domestic violence, public order problems due to alcohol?
Yeah.
Causes huge problems. So John, Angela just asked you again the question. So what days, when 5 years of cigarettes, that's grand. We're all with that. Okay, that's fine. So when are we bringing in the alcohol ban, John? 5 years?
No, we'll start with the smoking cup and then we go up from there.
John, lovely. I love you.
Let's go to Lorraine. Stay there, John. Stay with me, John and Angela. Lorraine, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
I'm good, Lorraine. Okay, so John will leave the alcohol ban just for the moment, just when he has another Jameson's and ginger ale.
Another Jemmy there.
Yeah. So, Lorraine, should we ban smoke? John wants to ban it altogether. Although,
no, I'm a smoker.
Yeah.
And this is a sentence I'd never thought I'd say on this podcast. I totally agree with Angela.
Okay.
I totally agree with her. I totally, there's no point. What's the point in bringing in the total ban? Like, why punish smokers that are smoking now? Yes, I totally agree with bringing in, say, in 2 years' time, 3 years' time, that the 16, 17, 18-year-olds can stop them smoking. But don't punish me for my stupid mistakes at the moment. I'm big enough that I can smoke and I can pay my own smoke, so leave me alone. There's no, like, it goes up every year in the budget and anyways.
Yeah, but the problem is, like, I mean, I personally am worried about your health. I don't want to see you.
You don't even know her.
John, we could be worried about you drink your Jemmy and ginger ale. We could be worried about you.
I don't drink it 7 days a week.
No, but you could drink it and fall over.
Yeah, hurt yourself, hit your head.
He
fell over years ago, but that was a Warner protest. That was different.
In front of a car and cause a 4-car pileup and kill a load of people with one drink.
That's a bit much now, isn't it?
And the only person I'm hurting is myself with the cigarettes. I'm not hurting anybody else.
John,
I'm not asking you to sit down with me and smoke 20 cigarettes.
But the problem is, you see, going forward, it's going to damage your health and you're going to end up taking up a hospital bed, which could be used for somebody.
Have you got a crystal ball there, John, that says I'm going to be in a hospital bed in 10, 15 years' time with smoke-related illness?
But if you keep, it's obvious, if you keep smoking for the next 20 years, it's going to damage your health.
Not necessarily.
John, I had cancer back in 2010. And it had absolutely nothing to do with smoking. My uncle died of cancer, never drank and smoked in his life.
Yeah, of course. But you must admit,
but I may not die of lung cancer or something smoking related.
I could walk outside me come door tomorrow and get a smack of a bus.
Yeah, but you wouldn't intentionally walk out in front of the bus where you'd intentionally stick the cigarette in your mouth. There's a bit of a difference, isn't there? You know what I mean?
No, but what I'm saying is it's devil.
So here's the thing. No, Lorraine, let's use your analogy, right? When you walk across the road, you look up and down. You're cautious. You listen to see if there's anything coming. But the difference with smoking is you're intentionally doing something that you know is harmful to you. Now, by the way,
I know,
I'm a smoker, so I know the story. But I'm just saying to you, like, it wouldn't bother me. I'm not personal. I hate censorship. I hate bans. But it's the one thing that wouldn't bother me if they turned around tomorrow and said they're going to make smoking illegal. It actually wouldn't bother me.
No, see, you can't just outright ban it.
We banned it out of bars and hotels and buses and waiting rooms, and it was banned. So now let's go the whole way and ban it completely.
But that's the case, ban alcohol.
Like I said, now the two of these ladies I know, they must be millionaires, secret millionaires, they, because the amount of money they're spending, they were Angela and all the other lady there, right?
Lorraine,
on cigarettes.
Yeah.
And I guarantee that. She's probably busting her ass in the job now. I don't know how well paid she is, but we'll say it's on the average pay.
She's minted. Minted.
And then you went to a shop and you pay nearly 17 euros for 20 cigarettes.
Niall.
Yeah, sorry, Angela.
Could I just say something to John there,
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it on air, but Niall knows what I do. I don't pay that much for cigarettes.
Yeah.
I don't pay that much for cigarettes.
Yep.
I take a nice little trip abroad and I come back with my cigarette.
So you know what? It's actually financially viable to get on a Ryanair flight, fly to Spain and buy 400 and come back with them.
Well, I tell you something.
Stop telling everyone.
That to me is absolutely reckless. That you're actually leaving the country to get cheap cigarettes to bring them back and to stuff them into your face and smoke.
It's brilliant.
It's madness.
That's not madness. That's called having a brain.
And Lorraine, how many cigarettes do you smoke a day?
Me, I wouldn't smoke many. I more smoke when I have a drink. I smoke more at the weekend, but during the day I smoke about 5 or 6.
Okay. That's not bad. Anybody
that goes into a shop and buys a product and written on it, it says this, if you were to put your hand up for a box of cornflakes and it says cornflakes will give you cancer.
When you buy your
that box of cornflakes would rot in
John,
the
you just missed what she said there a minute ago. Sorry.
What she said?
John, when you buy your bottle of Jameson, it's written on it, that's harmful to your health.
Yeah, but I don't go drinking 10 and 12 Jameson's a day.
Ah, stop, John. You're digging a hole there.
That's pure hypocritical. Your point is, it's written on a bottle of cigarettes that it has cancer. It can kill you. A bottle of Jameson has to say, but doesn't say it can give you cancer, but it says it's
you're not going to drink a whole bottle of Jameson unless you're a complete alcoholic altogether.
And I'm not going to smoke a whole box of cigarettes in one go either.
Do you smoke in the house, Lorraine?
No.
Does Jay smoke?
Yes.
Oh, because I was going to say the two of you sitting there smoking be like a nightclub.
No.
But stay there and let me just go to Morris. Morris, hi. How are you, Morris?
Grand. Everything's going well here. 23 years off the cigarettes. Yeah, I just came off Lent. I gave up the alcohol for Lent and I feel really good, you know. But just listening to Jay, Lorraine and what's that other lady's name?
Lorraine. Oh, Angela. She's gone.
Angela, yeah. But it was just amazing just to how casually people were talking about their addictions, like as if it was an everyday conversation.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, to say, I know Lorraine's married to Jay. Are our kids watching her smoking? Is she setting a bad example for them? 5 or 6 today is nothing. It would be easy for her to give it up. But to be honest with you, I was in hospital one time, a long time ago, and this probably made me give them up 23 years ago. There was an ambulance driver there, totally addicted to nicotine, eating cigarettes. He had the brown fingers, man. You know, like the old man or the old woman
with
the brown staining fingers. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that guy actually had a failed vein bypass in his leg because his arteries were clogged up. And he amputated his legs and one leg and he was still smoking. So that's the worst of it.
Yeah.
But then I seen the chronic alcoholic as well that actually died because of his addiction to drink. So I think anything you can do to influence kids in a good way. But I'll tell you one thing I know since I gave up cigarettes. Amount of money I have.
Yeah.
And I saved every penny when I was off the Gargo for Lent. Jesus.
Well, if you're smoking 20 cigarettes a day, it's $5,000 a year.
It's madness.
That's a lot of money. You'd buy a car with that, Niall. You'd buy a car with that.
Sorry, Lorraine.
Or you'd get a holiday.
It's scary.
You'd get a holiday
when you hear
to Florida.
Like
yeah, it is scary. That's a holiday to Florida, Lorraine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I think if you can get off them and set a good example for your kids. Well, I stopped smoking when I was 40. I'm 63 now.
You're talking about your kids. Really my 11-year-old, Jay will tell you, my 11-year-old kills me and him every time he sees us smoking and wants us to get off them. So,
Lorraine, I was talking to a friend of mine and I asked him, I said, what incentive did you use to get off them? And he said, I got a picture in my head of me dying in a hospital bed trying to explain to me 16-year-old why I wouldn't be here for our 17th birthday because I was addicted to cigarettes and I was dying from them. And he said, if that doesn't give you the incentive to get off them, nothing will.
But Morris, should we ban them?
I think so. It's a bad thing. It's an addiction. Yeah, I think everybody would be healthier. Everybody would be healthier and everybody would have more money in their pocket and the government would go fecking crazy.
Yeah, but Lorraine would be eating the carpets. You know what I mean? I'd
have Jade killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I tell you what I know.
Even Bella would get it. You know,
I said it to your researcher.
The dog, the whole lot.
You know the way we had them?
Yeah.
Niles, you know the way we had when we had the pandemic, everybody was noticing the masks lying around everywhere. They were the new dirty condoms things, like the masks for the COVID,
yeah? Yeah.
You know what the new dirt is now? Vapes. expired vapes. They're everywhere. They're everywhere.
But there's an easy solution to that, and I suggested 2 years ago, but nobody listened to me. And the disposable vapes, what they should do is put an extra euro on the price, and when you bring back the old battery, so to speak, or the old vape, you get your pound back or your euro back. And a euro off your next one or whatever it is. There was an easy way out of that rather than people just dumping the batteries everywhere. Because, by the way, it's not a good thing to be jumping lithium-ion batteries all over the place.
They're everywhere. Niles, they're everywhere.
I know, I've seen them. They're all over the place. Research. Yeah, people just throw them away. Yeah, and that's not good.
That's it.
Well, hang on. Stay there. Thank you, Morris. Thank you for that. Let me just go to Sean as well. Stay there, please, John and Lorraine. Let me go to Sean. Sean, hi, how are you?
How you doing, Niall? How are you?
Good. Sean, do you reckon we should ban them?
Well, look, yes, say is them out, but don't ban them straight away, you know.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to be honest, I enjoy smoking, you know.
Yeah.
I know the health benefits of what's going to happen to me if, you know, I suppose, look, it's a kind of a, how would I call it, Niall, and it's, well, Morris said there a minute ago, like, I just wanted to correct Morris on one thing, Niall.
He's gone.
Smoking.
Yeah, but go on.
Well, I'm smoking all my life, and so is my partner, you know. Well, not all our lives. Since we're about 14, 15, my kids are a lot older now. They never smoked in their lives, Niall. They've seen us smoking all their, you know, through all their lives, but they never picked it up because I told them never to smoke. It is a bit
hypocritical, and I know that because I did it and I had kids too, obviously. But it's a bit hypocritical when you're standing outside the back door and your kid is looking out at you smoking and you going, don't let me ever catch you smoking. It's a bit hypocritical, isn't it?
It's telling them the truth. You're telling them the truth, you know. And you're
but they're seeing you do it and you're their role model.
Yeah, but it doesn't make
like Lorraine has four children and a dog. Two dogs, sorry. One she doesn't like too much. But she has two dogs and four kids. She's a bad influence, a bad mother and a bad parent.
Thanks, Niall.
Everybody's at their own on this one, Niall.
Lorraine, do you not feel a little bit hypocritical when you're smoking in front of them and then you turn around and you say, because I know I did, and you're saying, don't ever let me catch you smoking.
I'm a complete hypocrite. Oh, complete. And I said that to the researcher as well. I can't say I'm a complete hypocrite. And I would kill my kids if they came back smoking. as you said, I'm standing outside the back door, so I really don't have a leg to stand on.
But according to John, you won't have a leg to stand on if you keep smoking. Or Morris, that person who ended up having an operation. Yeah. Sorry, John.
Yeah. Just to get in.
Sean enjoys smoking. He loves smoking.
Good. But the thing is that Morris made a good point there, and about just having a leg to stand on. You just mentioned there. There was a nurse telling me, she said, when we had this question about cigarette smoking one day and people end up in hospital, she said, the people only realise the damage it does to the circulation, she said, and if they realise the amount of people, she said, even in Cork, but around the country, right, because she's involved in the whole cancer thing and everything like that, that lose limbs every year, have legs amputated and all, because of smoking-related circulation problems. It's frightening.
Mm. No, I know.
Oh, we know that, John. You see, we're not disputing this. As I'm sitting here talking to you now, I have a cigarette in my hand. And I know the damage it's doing. And I'm not disputing, I'll never dispute anything that cigarettes do to people. But the fact of the matter is, I know what it's doing to me. It's like a drink. It's like, you know, if I went out and I bought drugs tonight, I know what chances I'm taking if I bought a drug and I took that drug. I could end up dead tomorrow. I'm not that I ever would, but I'm just saying.
Down to the years there, I've been on with Niall about this topic and other shows, and I do get a lot of abuse about it that I'm anti-smokers. What I'm actually, it's not that, look, obviously I'm anti-smoke, but the thing is, what I want is to have you live and to live well and to be healthy and all the other people out there. That's why I want
to. I know, I get that, John. Fair play. I hear you. Yeah. I get that. And I do understand that, John. But, you know, I do, as I say to Niall there, and I do agree with you there, you know, about phasing out, you know, and eventually, you know, getting rid of the cigarettes
So you think that's a good idea, Sean, what they had planned to do in New Zealand, but now they're not going to do it, but Britain are planning on doing it. In other words, say from next year, you know, anybody born after, say, such a day, 2007, which makes you 18, you're not allowed to smoke. So in other words, every year that gets a year older. So eventually, after 50 or 60 years, there'll be nobody left alive smoking.
I think that is a good idea, because it needs, something needs to be done. You know, I know quite well the amount of people in hospital from smoke related illnesses is through the roof, Niall, you know. And look, it can only be good. It can, as Morris even said, you know, he's saving pockets and pockets full of money there, and he's done the right thing. And I applaud him for that. You know, I applaud anybody that wants to get off any kind of cigarettes, alcohol, anything at all. You know, fair play to them, and hands up to them. If I was given the time, as I say, Niall, look, 5 years, that's it.
Do your kids or your partner not put a bit of pressure on you to give them up?
Niall, you see, here's the thing, I... You know, you can only give these up yourself if you really want it. And I did it a few times, and I went back
so
on them, and
so
I did it.
I,
went,
yeah. I've done it a few times, yeah.
I've spent a fortune on Nicorette and nicotine and gum and everything, and inhalers and all, and Jesus. And I tell you what, Niall, I'm an idiot, because I was bad there a couple of months back. I was really bad. You know, I was on the floor with my breathing. And what am I doing? I'm fucking smoking. Jesus,
no,
you know,
I don't feel well. I think I'll have a cigarette. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll ask you now, on behalf of all your listeners now, right, to give a commitment to us now, live and dear today, that from today on you will stop.
No.
You want me, yes, or Niall, no, to do it?
Yeah,
yes.
I'm not doing it either. I'm not going to lie to you, because I can't give you that commitment today, because I'll tell you why. Because I was away a while ago and I have about 300 in the house.
So, that's no bloody excuse.
I don't know if anyone has ever done this, right? I remember years ago I was in the car and I said, right, that's it. I was coughing in the car. And I said, that's it. I'm definitely giving them up. That's it. Now they're going. That's it. No more. And I had about two in a packet, and I took them out of the packet, opened the window of the car, and I threw them out, and I said, that's me, done now. Cigarettes. Right? I was only about 5 minutes down the road in the car, and I said, gagging for a cigarette, and I pulled into a garage and bought another packet.
I thought you were going to say you drove back.
Brilliant,
in.
Brilliant.
I just wasted the money throwing them out the window. Like, yeah. You have to, John. Yeah. You have to be ready to give them up. You have to want to, and you have to be really ready to give them up. And I find excuses constantly to not give them up, which is really stupid. It's childish.
Well,
I'm a grown-ass adult. You think I'd have a good idea, wouldn't you?
I'll tell you what. No, you would be great.
I'll have a smoke.
Yeah.
You have the greatest excuse going in the world now, because you are fully in love now with the new lady in your life, the lovely Karen, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And if that's not an incentive to stop, I don't know what is.
Oh, well, she gave them up 16 years ago. 15 years ago. She gave them up. And literally in a day, she just stopped smoking. And she hasn't smoked since.
There you are. Wow. Well, can you not learn from that?
You think so, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Well, hang on. Let me just go to Gladys. Gladys, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. I'm slightly conflicted here, because I was a smoker.
Okay.
And I would love a cigarette. I love them. They were my mate.
Your buddy.
And I still miss them, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else to be doing, you know, sort of thing with my hands, just eating chocolate, which is great, you know.
Oh, I love eating chocolate too, yeah. I'm a chocoholic.
But the smoking were my go-to thing, you know, for stress or if I was uncomfortable in situations. But organically, smoking now is, I got really ill, and so that was the end of my smoking days. So the idea that, you know, that somebody, like my kids, would constantly ask me, give them up, you stink, you and it didn't work. It just made me smoke more.
Yeah, I know.
But when you can't breathe, that is, I never want to go back to that. I'll never forget it. I ended up in a ICU. Really with an infection, which they don't know. It wasn't because I smoked.
It was like a chest. You got a chest infection, yeah.
Yeah, I never had one in my life before, ever. I never had an antibiotic, ever. This was bizarre. But this is bizarre. When I knew I was going into hospital, I smoked 5 cigarettes one after the other. Because I knew.
That's what people do. That's what smokers do.
I knew.
Yeah.
I knew, even though I don't remember anything else after that, you know, because I ended up in intensive care. I knew I was never going to have another cigarette. And yes, I missed them. I constantly think of them. I follow people who smoke. And I look at old movies that people are allowed to smoke, you know, the way nobody smokes anymore.
Yeah.
I watch old movies.
Maureen O'Hara and John Wayne and all these people, Clark Gable and Rock Hudson, and they all smoke their brains out. Yeah.
Well, this is it, you know. So but in saying that, I would never encourage. I wish I never had started, you know, sort of it was because they were hard. But in reality, when people heard somebody saying to you, oh, if you love somebody, you'll give them up. And if you do this, you'll give them up. And all of this. When it's time, it's time. Whether it might never be the case that you'll never give them up, you might just love them forever. And, you know, you'll be 99 and with your last bag and then you're gone. Mm-hmm. Or something will change your mind. Something will click in your brain, you know, and like, and it'll happen. It wasn't easy. I used the patches. I used whatever, but I never want to feel that feeling that I can't catch a bit of air in my lungs. And that was enough. That was enough.
Yeah, I did have a chest infection years ago. And obviously, I don't think it was due to smoking because I rarely ever get chest infections or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I remember even trying to smoke with a chest infection. That's how stupid I was. And you just couldn't. You'd have one or two pulls, you'd physically feel sick. You know what I mean? But the madness is you're actually trying to do it.
I know. But that's how people don't understand the level of addiction to smoking. That's what, you know, it's completely addictive, you know?
Yeah.
Really addictive. And I mean, as I say, you know, I mean, this is ridiculous. And this is true as I'm talking to you, how addicted I was. There was a little gap in the window. And even though I was wired up to all sorts of equipment, I could see this little gap. And I thought, I wonder how.
could I stick a cigarette out through the window and smoke it?
Yeah. And because I had some in my bag, I brought them with me.
Oh, I've done that. I'm really bold. I've done that in hotels. You know when the window doesn't open, they only allow it to open about 3 or 4 inches because of for security reasons. If you're on the second, and I've literally tried to smoke out through it with the curtain behind me, so the smoke won't go into the room.
I'm in the shower.
We do the maddest things.
Turn on the shower. Well, that shower, just as it is, and I at least now it doesn't matter where I go, what I do, I don't have to go and worry. Oh, where am I going to smoke?
Yeah.
You know, 10 miles, you know, first, because I used to be, the first thing in the morning was a cigarette. So if you were away, you'd have to go and route around 10, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, standing outside, you know, with the hair standing up, with the fag hanging out. And I don't have to worry about any of that stuff anymore.
And how you feel, by the way, how are you now? Are you okay now or?
No, I'll never be okay ever again. It was, the damage is done, you know.
What did you have? Pleurisy, was it?
They did. It was after COVID, even though we were released, you know, sort of. But they said there was so much infection going around at the time that they couldn't actually tell.
Yeah, I remember my mom ended up, she had pneumonia. And because she didn't deal with it properly at the time, she ended up with pleurisy, which I believe is the step after pneumonia. And so she ended up then with scarring on her lungs for the rest of her life, which was, you know, and it didn't do her any good, obviously. Yeah. It basically reduces your lung capacity a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I have that problem now, you know, sort of thing, and I'll be on medication for life. And
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's no fun.
No.
You know, but it's
but you're still following people around who are smoking.
I'm still standing beside people and saying, oh, because, oh, God.
I know, you know, but look, Karen says that to me all the time, my wife. She, even though she's off them 16 years, she still says every now and again when I'm smoking, she goes, give us a cigarette. Messing like, right? Yeah. She actually likes the smell.
I do, honestly.
She said it's so powerful. The addiction is so powerful.
It really is. And it brings back memories and, you know, all of these things. And also, but the thing about it is that in houses, nobody smokes in houses. You know?
No.
I was being sent further and further down a garden, you know, because people were getting ridiculous. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I do remember, Niall, you know, smoking. I was only thinking about this. Could you imagine this scenario that, say, a new baby's born, we're all young in our 20s, right? I'm all smoking over the baby.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Oh, no, I absolutely. Look, I remember my mom and dad, because cigarettes were cheap at the time. My mother used to smoke 60 cigarettes a day. My father would smoke 40 or 60 a day. They'd go, between the pair of them, they'd go through 4 or 5 packets of cigarettes. They were chain smokers, right? The house was like a nightclub. It was just constantly filled with smoke. And there was a big yellow stain on the ceiling from where my father sat from the cigarette smoke. And everything was sticky to the touch, you know, everything in the house.
You paint a beautiful picture.
Yeah, but I'm still here, you know what I mean? Oh, well, hang on, let me go to Norman as well. And I want to come to the happy couple, Jason and Lorraine, again in a second. Norman, hi, how are you?
Hello, Niall.
Yeah, you've been listening to Gladys, and it is a powerful addiction, there's no doubt about it. But should we ban it? Because I never asked Gladys that, actually. We'll come back to Gladys in a second. Should we ban it, Norman?
No. Banning is a waste of time.
Are you on a speakerphone, Norman?
Oh, God. Hang on a sec.
Yeah, you need to pick it up. You sound like you're on the other side of the room shouting over. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's better, Norman. That's better. Yeah,
go ahead. Fine, hang on.
Oh, we've lost him. Oh, let me go to Jason then. The happy couple. And we've lost Gladys. We've lost Gladys as well. Anyway, sorry, Jason. Go ahead, Jason.
How are you, Niall? How are you getting on?
I'm good. Jason, in relation to smoking, should we ban it?
No. It says in itself, though, the statistics are out there, the numbers are in. Less people are smoking.
Yeah.
Do you really want the government having that much control over your life now? They fucked up the country as it is, so do you want to give them this as well?
But here's the thing, right? I hate the government having any control. But there are certain things that you have to allow them control over, like speeding and laws and murder.
Well, then we're going into a nanny state then, so then they're controlling what you put into your body now as well.
But there is laws around what we can put into our body. There's controlled substances, you know, that we're not allowed to buy.
I know that, but it's a bit late for that now, okay? For years and years and years, the doctors told you it was fucking great to smoke. Okay, we all know it's bad. Everybody now knows it's bad. Anybody born in the last 30 years knows smoking is bad. If you take it up, it's a bad choice. But people have to be free to be able to make bad choices in life. So what, do you come out to drink next? We all know how bad drink is. Is everybody going to have the same reaction when they come out next? Right, we're stopping drinking. Anybody born after a certain age? You know, and then where did they go next? Then we're going to stop this. So I just think, no, we can't give governments that amount of control. The statistics are in, though. Smoking is dropping naturally in any way. Less
16% of people. It's only 16%.
So, you know, another 10, 15 years ago. And come here now, where are they going to get the money from then when they stop selling smoke? Sorry, your man's just hit the garage. I have to go now. There's a truck just had to smash it into the towpath down the park.
Oh, no.
And there's workers there fixing the other side from when a fella only hit it yesterday.
Oh, no.
Are you
okay, Jason?
I'm sitting in my parking spot looking at it. I'm going to send you the picture.
Oh, right. Be careful. Jason, be careful.
Go on. I'll go.
See you,
bye, 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 bye.
Jason, Lorraine, imagine that, your husband having an accident live on the air. Did you hear that? You can hear the sirens and everything. Jason, our live reporter from the docks. Sorry, Norman.
I wouldn't be that lucky.
Norman, getting back to you. Sorry. You heard Jason. Let's not give the government control over this kind of situation. Shouldn't be banning it at all. What do you think?
Yeah. I think banning it is a waste of time. It's counterproductive. And worse than that, it gives you a sense you've done something when you've done nothing. That made matters worse. It was the same with minimum unit pricing and alcohol. They brought that in.
Yeah.
You know, alcohol is a problem in this country, you know.
Yeah.
And our relationship with it, you know.
Oh, it is a huge problem, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what did the government do? Instead of actually finding out why people get addicted to alcohol and help them off it, they bring in minimum unit pricing. And that's it, job done.
So why do you think we should put the price of cigarettes up even more?
No. That's exactly my point. Minimum unit pricing did nothing except make alcohol more expensive. It doesn't stop people drinking.
No, it doesn't stop it. No, it doesn't. I think that only affects people with less money, because what happens is they just, like, I'm guessing, but if Lorraine only had 15 quid on her and it was a choice of buying a bag of chips or a pack of cigarettes and she needed cigarettes, I think she'd buy the cigarettes.
I'd buy the cigarettes. As long as I have everything else in my house, I'd buy the cigarettes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when my kids were going to primary school, there was a friend of ours, or not a friend, a friend of a friend, and she was an alcoholic. And she literally, her kid would sometimes come to school with no lunch.
Yeah.
Or no buster. So my kids would share their lunch with him, you know? Or another friend.
The cigarettes and the drink become the priority. Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
That's just, and happens.
So opening the price doesn't achieve anything. You know?
No, the only thing it achieves is the government get more money out of it.
Well, they get more money out of it, yeah. And the worst thing is the government says, well, we've addressed the problem with alcohol, we've addressed the problem with tobacco or, you know, nicotine. And they haven't. They've just said, it's just an excuse for them to say, look, how, you know, it's a bit like putting the carbon tax on coal. It doesn't achieve anything except make coal more expensive for people who can't afford to refit their hands or put in a new boiler, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand. Okay, so what about the idea of the ban, like in New Zealand, for example, where they kind of said that they would, you know, increase the age one year every year for purchase of cigarettes. So in other words, it starts this year at over 18s, next year it's over 19, the year after it's over 20, and it keeps going up, essentially.
Yeah, well, but look at that. I've got two kids, one who smokes a bit and one who smokes a bit more, and I'd like them to stop, you know, particularly the one who smokes, I think, too much. But, you know, they don't listen to me. I try and talk to them and explain, you know.
Yeah.
Try and lead by example. But if they want to smoke, they smoke, you know. I can jump up and down.
Yeah.
So increasing age, that's nonsense. That's
it's not really. What it's doing is it's setting, you know, a target whereby in 50 years, so it's not going to stop Lorraine from smoking or me from smoking or your kids from smoking for that matter, right? Because they're over 18 or whatever it is, right? But it is going to stop future people taking up smoking.
No, it won't. Because I'll give an example. Ireland is probably the highest for alcohol prices in EU, second highest in Europe.
Yep.
The highest is Norway. And what do you have in Norway? Illegal brewing. It's rampant in Norway, in Finland.
So you just think it'll boost the black market?
Yeah, exactly. You can go to the black market or go on holidays or whatever and take back a whole packet of whatever it is, try and sneak it through, or buy it on the black market in Ireland or whatever. I was actually in town the other day, and three people approached me saying if I wanted to buy tobacco or cigarettes, you know, at a fraction of the cost I get in the shop.
There you go, Lorraine. He doesn't even agree with the incremental banning.
I think it's a good thing. I think if you stop, as Niall said, it'll phase it out. It won't stop me from smoking or Niall or the older generation, but I think it'll phase it out. It's not a good thing, though. Like, we know how bad smokes are. We know how damaging it is for health.
Yeah, but we don't. Young people smoke. As you were saying, young people smoke less. In surprisingly, Denmark is very, you know, and Holland and these countries are very health conscious. Yet there's an increase in young people smoking. It's like a cool thing to do. It's something for them to do. It's only when they get over older, you know, 25 or whatever, that maybe they give up smoking. Mm. You know, so it's banning something or increasing the age won't stop it. It'll just drive it underground. They're not going to stop. Young people don't, you know, you tell them, don't do this, don't do that. They'll do it anyway.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, well, hang on. Let me just go to Breda. Breda, hi, how are you?
Hi,
Breda.
Hi, Niall.
I'm good.
How are you?
What do you think of what Norman is saying there?
Niall, I have to go, so I shall talk to you later on, okay?
Okay, you just look after that Jason fella. We'll get him back on in a second. Sorry, Breda, go ahead.
Well, I think it's a good idea. I give up cigarettes when I was 36, Niall. I just got up one day, had a rotten sore throat, smoked my cigarette, and I went, oh, that's me done. And I had pneumonia 2 years ago, and I was in a ward, mixed ward, in Blanchardstown, great care. And the amount of people, my oxygen levels were 72. I could have put my head through the wall to try and get oxygen. And was I glad I wasn't a smoker as well? Because I don't think I would have survived at night.
Yeah.
Like, I was seriously ill.
Yeah.
I think there's no harm in making it unobtainable to younger people. You know, put it up to 25 now, that, you know, or whatever. Because...
Well, that would be unfair because people over the 18 are entitled to start smoking at the moment. So that for those who are already smoking at 19, 20, but then you're essentially prohibiting them from doing it and something they're doing already. So let's say the 18 is a good mark, right? So that in other words, if we started it next year, we would be banning anybody born after 2005 would not be allowed to smoke.
Yeah.
Or 2007 wouldn't be. Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't even try to have it up. I think I can't bear the smell of it now, Niall. Oh, my God. And I love the cigarette. Love the cigarette. Can't bear the smell of it now. I mean, it turns my stomach. I think, you know, I'm very disappointed. I thought you were giving up the cigarette, Niall.
I know.
Now, you know, like, you have the beautiful Karen there. I mean, she might like the smell of it, but, like, I couldn't kiss a fella that smokes. I couldn't. Mm. Oh, go away. Couldn't go near you. Sorry, not that Karen has let me go near you, but I'm just noticing it.
Yeah. What did you say, Norman? Don't think Karen would be too pleased. I can feel a row coming on.
I'm only joking.
So, Breda, you're completely turned off it now. So, what about some people are suggesting, like John earlier on said, a complete ban?
No, Well, I mean, look, if you can't do that either, you know, I mean, the ban smoking in pubs and like it, the pub scene was destroyed for a while because the first thing you know is now after the smoking ban was the smell of farts.
Yeah, that's right. And everybody's out in the beer garden. Yeah.
Yeah. So, look, you know, no, but maybe as for future generations, yes, increase the age as you go along, you know, for every year and make it impossible for people. I mean, I know you can have underground smoking and underground drinking, but like, are people going to be bothered trying to go and find somebody that's making, you know, and where did they get the underground tobacco from? I mean, if every country decides to do it,
I was approached the other day and by two or three people offering to sell me cigarettes.
You can buy a cigarette making machine, like, and it makes thousands every hour, and you can buy them online. You buy all the tobacco, you pour it into the top, and you all the papers in. And they're like $3,000 or $4,000, and you can make it actually packets them and everything. You can make packets of cigarettes.
But then you don't know what mush they're putting into that.
No, that's what I'm saying. But that's really the killer. I mean, don't get me wrong. Tobacco in itself is, you know, to be obviously inhaling, you know, burning tobacco is obviously not good for you. But it's mainly the other stuff that's in the cigarettes that's really bad for you. It's the carcinogens. Yeah. Like, there's arsenic in cigarettes.
Like, people are better off buying the tobacco and rolling their own if you really want to have
it. Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, don't get me wrong, that's bad for you too, but it's a lot safer than smoking pre-made cigarettes. Yeah, absolutely.
My granduncle used to smoke woodbines, and I'd go down to my granny's shop. He only lived up the road from my granny's little shop, and I'd get the woodbines, and he'd always not wink at me because he knew I'd be smoking. So I'd get my one woodbine out of the 10 woodbines. And I used to smoke that woodbine, and I used to, oh, it was just heaven. Now, that man was 98 when he passed away. Not saying, like, you know.
I know, my own grandfather smoked Players untipped, and he was 97 or 98 when he died, and he smoked 40 a day. Yeah. But cigarettes were different in those days, genuinely. I'm not just saying that to defend that argument.
Oh, yeah.
They were different, because if you remember, when your dad fell asleep or your granddad fell asleep with a cigarette in his hand, right?
Yeah.
And the cigarette would burn right down. You'd see the ash, the long, bent ash.
That's right, yeah.
You light a cigarette now, take a pull out of it or two, put it on an ashtray, and it will not burn out. It will go out itself after a couple of seconds, because the reason is they put more stuff in it now under new regulations they brought in about 10 or 15 years ago, where the cigarette must go out to stop house fires. So the cigarette has to go out. So they put more stuff into it now. There used to be an accelerant to keep it burning, and now they've put something else in to stop the accelerant from going too quickly.
So, but now, would that not make you want to stop? Like, you're putting all that chemical shite into your lungs.
Oh, I know.
Along with...
Of course it makes you want to stop.
But then why aren't you stopping?
I don't know.
Would you not try that?
I am. I've promised Karen I'm going to give them up. And look, there's a couple of reasons. A, my health is the main reason, right? And I want to live forever with her, obviously.
Yeah.
Or as long as we possibly can together. And secondly, the cost. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
you know what? When you walk into a shop and hand over 16 or 17 quid now, euro, for a packet of cigarettes, you feel like a tick.
Yeah, I can't get, but not just that, Niall. I mean, we see people coming on flights with their little breeding machines because of
COPD.
COPD, I always get it wrong.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're gasping for air. And the first thing they're thinking about is when they get off the plane, where is it safe for me to have a cigarette? I can't get my head around that. I really can't.
But they still have a smoking area in Dublin Airport.
Only in Terminal 1.
Up over the pub.
Yeah, upstairs across from the restaurant. But there's none in Terminal 2.
No.
So, like, if you're, you know, and there's a chance then you can miss your flight because people don't realise the walk between the two terminals. We've had people miss their flights because they went for a cigarette.
Oh, yeah, because you have to go all the way back out through security and all the way back out to the front door again.
No, you don't. No.
Oh, you can walk between the two terminals. Oh, of course, yeah.
No, there's a walkway between the two terminals. But, like, just people, like, it's a good 15-minute walk or more. So people don't realise, I think, how far. So you're talking about a half an hour just to go for a cigarette.
Mm.
You know.
Okay, well, hang on. I just need to go to Jason before I finish up here because Jason just seen him.
Oh, yeah, is he okay?
Yeah, you all right, Jason?
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you, you should have seen all them overweight truckers trying to get out in the diesel pumps when they hit the bank.
Oh, my God. So what happened? A truck hit the roof of the Topaz.
No, you're okay, you know when you're getting your diesels and your petrols, you know the big roof over you?
Yeah.
You know the big roof? Yeah. Well, they're 4.7, 15.4 feet. And his trailer is 4.7, 15.4 feet. But he didn't let the air out of the back of his trailer when he picked it up. And he drove straight into it. Now, the funny thing is, did you see the scaffolding beside the trailer? Did you see the picture?
Oh, no, hold on.
There's four lads that have been up there working on that, fixing the part that his fellow truck driver hit yesterday.
Oh, God. So they've only fixed it and it's coming back down again.
They're in the middle of, they've just put up the new part on this side and he just drove straight into it.
Oh, God. I'm looking
with
at
the bang.
It.
Everybody jumped with the bang because this is all full of diesel. You know, they're all diesel and highly flammable.
So I see the picture here. So he's stuck under it at the moment. So
he's not. We just went over. We dropped all the air out of his trailer and his truck and we just reversed him back out.
That's what I'm going to say. That's what I was going to say. So you have to let the air out of the tires to get him back out again.
No, we don't. No, we have air in our trailers. All our trailers and trucks are run on airbags as airbags. I can pump the air in and out of mine. I can raise my truck up and I can lower my truck down.
So the suspensions. Yeah, okay. All right.
With their air, they're not suspension, they're airbags, they're big airbags. Yeah. You look in the back, at the back of any trailer, you'll see these big black rubber things, they're called airbags. Now, there's a tap on the side of each trailer that you can hurry them up and load them down as you need. So it's basically when you're loading.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, the plane was there. Yeah, no, I get you. Sorry, that was just a WhatsApp.
The bang, just when you hear a bang like that around diesel pumps, you just tend to run.
Run
in the opposite
direction. I'm glad you're still with us, Jason, anyway. But look, unfortunately, I've run out of time. Jason, thank you very much for keeping your... Jason, our roving reporter down at the docks. Thanks very much indeed, Jason. Thank you, Breida. Thank you to everybody who got involved in the show. I got a WhatsApp message for you here. Hold on, I'm going to play it now, if I possibly can. Hopefully you'll hear it.
Noel, yeah, you could do what the Green Party is doing, phase them out like the way they're phasing out the traffic in Dublin. Eventually they're going to ban them, the cars. So phase out the cigarettes, eventually they will be banned, because you can't take somebody off something they're addicted to. They have to come off it easy enough. Cigarettes are not nice in a household, and not my mother, father, my sister smoked. I never smoked in my life or drank. My mother, father drank as well. Grand, I grew up in a lovely, happy family. It's just that they drank and smoked. A wonderful family. My mother, father, my sister loved them to bits, and they're still alive and that. But I never drank and I never smoked. And thankfully, my wife doesn't eat, and my kids don't either, thankfully. So I learned from watching my mother, father smoke and drink, and my sister smoke and drink. I learned from that I didn't want to be. I just didn't like the environment, like, you know, the smoke, the drink. Saying shite when you're drinking, like, and even to this day when I get someone in the taxi and they have drink on and they're drunk, I just don't understand. But look, that's it, Noel. Yeah, that's what I say. Phase them out. That's what I would say. Cheers, pal.
There you go. That's Neil, the taxi driver. Thanks very much indeed, Neil. Don't forget, go to his TikTok account, by the way. He has lots of good news always in there, by the way. Now we got some messages, by the way. Quinny Morehead says, Noel, can we put a complete blanket ban of the very essence of the word ban? I just can't listen to these calls for ban this, ban that, ban anymore. Anyway, Mike says, well, they could do the same for alcohol. And Mick says, news in France, no cross-border limits for tobacco products introduced was 200. Now that's gone. 20 cigarettes in Spain is a fiver. France, 1250. French tobacconists say it will ruin them. Apparently, it's a new European law, but does it include Ireland? You can be bloody damn sure it doesn't include Ireland. There's a weird thing, by the way, that you can buy as many cigarettes as you want for personal use from Spain. So you can buy 1,000 cigarettes in Spain and bring them home, right? Legally. But when you go to the Canaries, you're only allowed 300. That's a bit odd, isn't it? Because I thought the Canaries came under Spanish law. But anyway, there you go. I just thought it was interesting. Alan says, no banning and criminalizing drugs achieved nothing positive. Education is the answer. Education is the key. Thank you to everybody who got involved in today's show. Don't forget, by the way, you can join us at any stage by going to our website, nileboylan.com. That's nileboylan.com. At any stage, if you want to go to the website, let me just bang up the website there for you. Where is that? It's somewhere there anyway. Anyway, oh yeah, there it is there. Go to the website, nileboylan.com, and please support the show. If you can send us a WhatsApp, or if you send us a donation, or you want to subscribe to the show, you're welcome to do it. You can do it there. Remember, the only way that the show can survive is on your subscriptions and your donations to pay the bill. So please do support us. This podcast will be available in about an hour or two's time on our website, nileboylan.com, and on our Twitter account and Facebook account and all the usual places. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. We appreciate it, and we shall talk to you again tomorrow at 12.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.